When I said when I prayed and said, Lord, I really want to do inner city ministry, that would be cool. I feel like you're calling me into that. I wasn't picturing this, like next to the highway, but you know, you can't get any closer than this. So this is pretty cool. The 100 motorcycles that normally come through when we're meeting in this place, they haven't been here yet. Hey, this is one of my favorite Sundays. It's one of my favorite Sundays because I get to basically give my annual report, but it's to look back over the last year and talk about all the cool things that God has been doing in us and through us. And so I've got way too much to say. I need, let's see, it's 10:26. I need somebody who's a timer to set your timer for 10:50 and then wave at me at 10:50. Okay, if I'm still talking, Jake just waved. All right, let's close the door. I get it, all right. So it's kind of funny, but because we're gonna pause our talk of the miracles that Jesus did in Scripture to talk about how he's kind of moved, some would say miraculously, among us at different times. You know, that term miracle or providence. A miracle is when God changes the very laws of nature and reverses those. His providence is when he just makes things work out, where you look and say, ah, that was providential love of God. When you hit every green light, it is not a miracle. You could say, today was evidence of God's providential love for me. But then the next day when you hit every red light, you have to be willing to say, this is God's providential love for me, telling me not to be in such a hurry and slow down. And we usually don't do that. So I'm going to kind of go rapid fire through some things, tell some stories, and look at some scripture. Let your good deeds, this is what Matthew 5:16 says. Let your good deeds shine out for all to see, so that everyone will praise your heavenly Father. That's in the New Living Translation. Let your good deeds shine out for all to see. So then I look and say, okay, here we are at FBC Westbrook, and we do these things in our community because God has told us to do things like feed the hungry, clothe the naked, show his love. I mean, that is a commission he's given us, is to go into all the world and make disciples, but he's told us as well to love our neighbors as ourselves. Love our neighbors. So what are we doing? You know, this year, meals served in our open door kitchen, what I really saw happening and what I love to watch happen is the connections that happen between people. We have, those of you who serve regularly, you've gotten to the place where you know and recognize and look for people. I know for some of us, we like that. We love connecting that way, but I don't think we fully recognize what it means to some of the people we're connecting with. You know, I had one of our elderly guests tell me, I'd given her a hug at the door when she was leaving, and we had talked about things, and she was talking about her house and stuff like that, and I gave her a hug goodbye, and she said, do you know that this is the only place I get hugs? I come here for the food, but I think I come here for the hugs. And that kind of thing just really makes me go, wow, this is awesome. This is showing the love of Christ. Now, in John 6:1-13, you know the story. God multiplied what they had and served 5,000 plus meals. He fed 5,000, right? Jesus fed 5,000 in that miracle. And we're going to talk about that later this summer. Now, I look at what we're doing in Open Door Kitchen, and do you realize that last year the grant amount that we got was $2,500 less than we had gotten the year before? And you all know what happened with food prices, right? Okay, so we needed God to multiply things. We needed God to make those ends meet. And surprise, he did. And sometimes it was, hey, we need corned beef. So you want to buy a corned beef? And you guys rocked the kitchen with too many corned beefs. I mean, all we had to do was say, hey, we need food to feed people. And the church responds and says, we'll do that. Now, one of the things that shifted in our Open Door Kitchen, when COVID hit, we went to drive-through, right? We went to all drive-through meals, and it was crazy. We used to go through 200-300 meals within 25 minutes because people would just pull up and say, I'll take five, I'll take seven, I'll take four, I'll take, and then we just shuffled through those meals. And some people were like, well, I miss the connection, and I do too. But I think for some who are experiencing food insecurity, who would never come in person, they came that way and we were able to feed. So after COVID ended and we said, let's start serving in person again, we had this question, do we still do to-go meals? Should we still do the meals to-go where people can just walk in and say, I'd like to take one home for my wife and I? And we decided, talking with Steve, our director, it's like, yeah, we just need to make more food if we can feed more people. And so we consistently fed more people, even though we had less of them in person. The other thing that really excited me was that now, when people leave, they often will take two meals with them. And we used to say, well, you can't do that until, you know, quarter or six or whatever. We don't want to run out of food for the people who've come. And now our goal is to make too much food and then run out of food. Our goal is to take food to the homeless encampment. And thanks for Peter and April faithfully doing that ministry. I just look and say the ministry that you guys have among us, we just love you guys so much. And the way you serve Jesus and serve the church, what a blessing that is. And so when I see an elderly man say, you know what, I want to take one of these home. And then I see, you know, Leslie in the kitchen filling up that to-go thing like it's not even going to close. And you know what I know about that 88-year-old man? At least once or twice that week, he's going to eat lunch. And he probably wouldn't otherwise. And so I love that. I love the way it's changed. Now, God supplies. We were worried about this year. We were worried, oh no, if it's 7,500 again, we're not going to make it. This is going to be too hard. What are we going to do? Well, we put in the grant paperwork and we asked for 15,000 and included our food pantry in there. And it came back that we were given a grant for 12,000. So 10,000 for the food, the Open Door Kitchen, and 2,000 for the pantry. How cool is that? God supplying through grants from other places where there's money. God supplies in different ways, maybe ways we haven't expected. I love, we talk about good deeds. I love the way our church cares for the homeless, the unhoused, the unsheltered. There are different categories of people who are unhoused. There are some people who are unhoused, but they have a roof over their head because they've stacked up people in their relative's house and it's just overcrowded. And then there are people who are unsheltered. They don't even have a car or a van to sleep in. There are different categories, but every time we say, how can we help? People respond within our church body. And outside our church body, when we do a drive for sleeping bags, we get these 0-degree sleeping bags and I get suddenly 18, 20 of them show up at my door. I had somebody contact me this past year and say, hey, we have $1,200. We want to serve the unhoused, the unsheltered with it. Will you guys take care of that? I love that we have that reputation, that he knew, I'm going to call there because they're going to get it done. I love that when we do a clothing drive, the clothing comes in. I love that when we even ask for hand warmers, it comes in. Our Christmas offering, we were able to give, you know, $500 to the Maine Hope Squad, who has an ambulance that they've retrofitted as a portable warming shelter, with all of the bays on the side are all converted, and they all hold things like blankets and sleeping bags and extra coats and extra clothes and all these things. And it's a rolling kind of warming shelter. How cool is that, that we get to help that grassroots organization do what they do? You know, in Isaiah 58:10, it says, feed the hungry and help those in trouble. Then your light will shine out from the darkness, and the darkness around you will be as bright as noon. As bright as noon. You know, we have this furniture ministry that Dana started. And this furniture ministry, consistently things come in, things go out. Things come in, things go out. I just love the fact that this year we watch how people know we can go there and there'll be help. There'll be some help. There's people there who not only are going to say, hey, sign these forms and what do you make for money? Are you not going to resell this? And treat them like they're an imposition, but instead welcome them in and say, hey, what do you need? How can we help? And we've served single moms. We've served people who have come out of recovery and got their apartment, and now they're working to get their kids. And they're given an apartment, but no furniture at all in it. We've been able to serve them. And one of the things that excites me most about this past year is, I don't know if you saw it in the news, everybody who wants to talk about homelessness while they don't do anything about homelessness always brings up, what about the veterans? Well, what about the veterans? I always respond, what are you doing for the veterans? Well, a lot of people who criticize, that's the best way to respond when they're like, what about the people right here? What are we doing for them? And you just ask back and go, I don't know, what are you doing? Give me some ideas that you found that work. And people go, I'm not actually doing anything. But I love the fact that this year, a homeless center opened that gave apartments specifically to veterans. I love that six of those veterans, or is it more now, Dana, came for mattresses more. They were like, here's veterans that have served our country, and we're saying, we love you in the name of Jesus. Here's a bed. You don't have to sleep on the floor anymore. You now have an apartment, a bed. What else do you need? Do you have stuff in your kitchen? Come on, let's get you some stuff. I love that that happens with immigrants as well. Our food pantry, it's open every Sunday, and I love that our volunteers who are there, they welcome people as though they're family, and they become family. I love the family that comes from Guatemala, and they don't walk here from Guatemala. They used to live in Guatemala, and they arrived a couple years ago. But I think it's two daughters and two sons, or maybe it's three and one. But I'm always practicing my Spanish on them, my terrible Spanish. And at first they were kind of nervous about that. But I don't know if any of you noticed the last time that we had a dinner, a lunch after church downstairs. Not only did they stay, they stayed and played the hokey game we were playing. I just love that, because we're looking and saying, we love you in the name of Jesus. We love you, and Jesus loved us so much that we are told to love you, and so we do. And so we're going to serve, and we're going to help, and what do you need? And we want to get to know you, and we want to welcome you as family. I love that. We're not at the hug point yet, but I bet you in the next 6 months, it's going to be some hugging going on. I love that. So what about people who are alone at Christmas? Alone at Christmas. When I talk later, I'm going to talk about us being a yes church. Alone at Christmas. What happens is God says, hey, I want you to do this. And you usually come up to me and say, hey, Scott, can I do this? And I say, yeah, sure, that sounds good. And Chris and Victoria, you guys know, yeah, I'm talking about you guys. When people are alone at Christmas, God puts this burden on their hearts and says, hey, what about them? And Victoria goes nuts putting out this gourmet spread of food. And then it's expanded so some of our church people come as well. And then others come walking in the door. I love that. Being so concerned. Now we know there's the family that comes, the mom with her daughter and her son, and her daughter will talk your ear off, and she is just so excited to see everybody. But I love the fact that through coming to Food Pantry, coming to things like that, coming to our dinners, they've become known to us. And without having a presence drive, we had a few families in our church bring presents for those kids for Christmas. Why? Because God put it on your heart. God put it on your heart to do. I love it. I love when we were are doing the food pantry and all that. You know, we're at a point where we didn't have two nickels to rub together. I don't know if we have nickels right now. Probably not. But we didn't have two nickels to rub together, and the freezer in our food pantry died. And they said, oh, what are we going to do? I said, well, we've got to buy a new fridge and freezer. Well, but we don't have any money. Well, we have some money, and feeding people who are hungry is a top priority. So let's just do it and see how the Lord provides. And so we bought a freezer and fridge, nice, big, beautiful one that has computer stuff that it does, because they all do that now. And it got delivered, and I thought, oh boy, how are we going to set that up? I show up the next day, and who's set it up already? Peter and April. They're like, yeah, I see this fridge out here, so you want to set that up? Sure, go for it. You come in, it's all done. I love how we respond. Outside worship. When I have meetings with other clergy, they are baffled about this. They just look at me and go, how does that work? They let you do that? I said, yeah. See, we've got a relationship with our city where our city knows that they can come and say, we have a need, will you help? And we'll say, yep. Because most Christians, we only show up when we're mad about something. Think of it. Most people know us for what we don't like better than what we like. We should be known for love. We should be known for acting like Jesus. But so many times, the world has this idea that Christians, they just show up and they're mad at you for something. We're going to find out at this meeting what they're mad about now. So when you instead start loving people, and then you make a request and say, can we meet in the public park? And they say, yeah, we're going to waive the permit fee. It's a $200 fee to meet in our park. $200 fee. And I think it's weekly. Oh, no. None of that. I love that this is like, you know the story in Luke, I think it's chapter 5, where there was such a crowd that Jesus said, I'm going to do this from the boat. There's too many people here. So he got in a boat and said, shove off. And he taught from being out on a boat. I love that because people wander by. You see them. They come. They'll stop. Like, look at this woman, Maggie, coming toward me now because she wants a hug.
Let me give you a cough drop.
And a cough drop. I love Maggie. Maggie rides her trike all over town.
I do, and I enjoy it.
She loves it.
Keeps me helping.
Can I share the prayer need with them? Maggie has a little spot right over here that many of us have already had, but remember when we got so nervous about it. So let's pray that that gets resolved, the doctors treat Maggie, and you'll probably end up with a white spot like I have here. All right? Let's pray right now. Lord God, we thank you so much for Maggie. Well, we thank you that she is known around town and that she's out and healthy riding her bike. Father, she's worried about this spot, as we all worry when we hear the word cancer, skin cancer. Lord, I thank for you for your providential love, where you provide for us with these medical doctors, and that we pray you would have your hand on them, and this would be taken care of quickly. In Jesus' name, amen. You should have a hat on.
Thank you.
So, and then the second thing, we get to be light in a very challenging time. Oh, we're already there? Holy cow!
We got 5 minutes.
Oh, so this is an early 5 minutes until the warning. All right. Like point two, we get to be the light in challenging times, right? Challenging times. Philippians 4:19 says, "My God will meet all your needs according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus." See, a financial strain always tests our faith. You know, but I look, somebody asked me last night, "How's your church going?" We were at a dance recital to watch JoJo and Emma and 4,000 other little kids dance. It wasn't that many. It seemed like it at times, but there were a lot of them. And we were there, and somebody said, "So how's your church doing?" And I said, "Awesome." And, you know, not. She said, "What do you mean not?" I said, "Well, like every church I've ever been in, we wish we had enough money or more money to do the things we want to do, but God just does enough right at the last minute. That's how that works." But I said, "But it's awesome. I just love it. I just love being with these people." And she looked at me like, "Well, what are you going to do if you don't have enough money?" I said, "I'm going to learn to drive a bus. We'll do something." I know that God has called us to be in Westbrook, that God has called us to be here in Southern Maine, in whatever community you're in. God put you right there for a reason. And he's not done with us. No way. So I am so thankful during these financial strains that we had Stacy for the last 6-7 years, right? Or five years. It only seemed like 7, right? And so now she is being replaced by Adam Davis. He's another accountant, and he and his family are away road tripping today. But thank you so much for putting up with all that, the stress, the different times. She would always look at me and smile or give me a little text and say, "Hey, you might just want to mention to people that things are really tight." And that's when you get that little notice from me saying, "Things are really tight." So we're believing. We've seen God's supply. We've seen him supply through grants. I look, there's a story that I was going to go through more in depth in 1 Kings 17, where God provides for Elijah after Elijah has made a prophecy that the king doesn't like, of no rain at all for years. And God says, "Here, go hide over there, and I'm going to feed you with the ravens." Now that's every day the ravens brought him food. You don't want to talk about DoorDash. I mean, you sit there and go, it's time for breakfast. Here come these ravens. They're bringing you bread and meat. Wow. It was wild stuff. And then when the river that he was drinking from finally dried up from the drought, he said, God told him to go talk to this widow over here and ask her, she's going to feed you. Talk to the widow, and she said, "I only have enough for my son and I left, enough flour and oil. And I was just planning to make that meal, and then we would eat it and then die." I mean, that's what the Bible says. That's a pretty bummer of an outlook. And so Elijah says, "Hey," Biff's got it. Now, Tom is the official timer. Tom is the official timer. And so he said, "Make that meal. Make that meal." And Elijah ate it, and then her flour kept multiplying, multiplying, and multiplying. And God provides. God provides. You know that God has given us. Good. I got. All right. So five more minutes. The last. This was just the initial warning, because you know. But anyway, that God has provided. Do you know that everybody told us? Everybody told us you cannot, because you're a church. You cannot get a government grant. You can't. You don't even apply. Well, what did we do? We applied. And what did God do? We were sponsored by the city because of our relationship with them. We were sponsored by the city, and we got a HUD grant, a community block development grant, for $130,000 about. And so you're going to see Greg and Jerry. They're going to be working on replacing the decking on the ramp. That's paid for by the HUD grant. You're going to see all of our... have you ever noticed that our exit lights turn off when you turn off the lights? They're not supposed to do that. That's going to be repaired. Our bathrooms are going to be added. And so that's awesome. We've been hands across the sea in Guatemala last June. We watched, I just listed here, we taught the children VBS, provided a computer lab, provided a blood analyzer to a clinic for the poor, and we served at a church plant that had been praying that God would give them enough money to buy the property next door. Do you know that what God did while we were there? Who wants to guess? Provided enough money for them to purchase the land. Declare his glory among the nations, says in Psalm 96:3. And the last thing to wrap up with is that this, I think, is a launching pad for what God has planned for us in Westbrook. It's a launching pad. And see this, I kind of look at us as a ministry lab. In Ephesians 4:11, 12, it says, he gave some to be pastors and teachers, to equip the saints for the work of ministry. He gave us to equip the saints so that they would be involved in ministry. You know what our church is? Here comes the motorcycle group. You're late. Only two of them. There's the other 98. So I look at it as a ministry lab. You know what? I just am amazed that when I'm away, I've got like six different people that are like, yeah, I can speak for you. And we're learning how to do that better and better and better the more we do it. It's called being equipped for ministry. You get up terrified to leave worship. And then by the time you've been doing it and doing it and doing it, you become equipped for ministry. So I look ahead with hope. And I say in Galatians 6:9, let's not get weary in doing good. For in due season we will reap if we do not give up. This summer marks 12 years as me being pastor here. 12 years. And that was all a crazy mistake. That wasn't the plan. Wasn't the plan at all, but it was God's plan. 12 years of being in this church that's been here for 136 years, being light in the community. That's a legacy. I want us to continue being a church of yes. When people come and say, hey, can we meet there for prayer? Yes. Hey, can we have a Narcotics Anonymous group there? Yes. Can we have an AA meeting there? Yes. Can we have a Housing Coalition meeting there? Yes. These are all things that have already happened in much of the ministry we have. Can I run a furniture ministry there? Yes. Can we open a food pantry? Yes. If God has put the burden on your heart, yes. Let's do it. Let's not say no. The difference is that most places charge the organizations that want to be there for that meeting a rental fee. God has given us this place so that we can be salt and light. Let's pray together. Then we're going to take about a 2-minute break and call Chris over here and make a motion to have him be our moderator. And then we're going to do our business of going into the future together. Lord God, I just thank you so much. There's so much on these pages that I wanted to to say, but Lord, you just, that's just awesome because you're doing, it's like the kids say, you do too much. There's so many opportunities, and I thank you. I thank you for putting us right here, smack dab in the middle of all of it. Lord, might we continue to be a yes church. Might we continue to run to the mess and love people as Christ loved them. In Jesus' name, amen.